Start getting my stuff situated. A new year. A new week. A new day. New beginnings. Wow, that's really small. That's not going to work. Sorry. Maybe this way. There we go. All right. Does anyone, I'll go with a show of hands, or if you're being shy, well, I'll just make my own assumptions. Anybody have a New Year's resolution this year that they're trying to follow? Oh, here we go. Got one. I'm guessing like two or three that just don't want to raise their hands. Supposedly, you've got about a week, if averages hit, not quite, maybe 6 days before the majority of people don't keep up with that New Year's resolution. So I wish you luck that you make it the rest of the way, or make it through the whole year. I actually did I was telling my wife, I don't do a lot of New Year's resolutions, but I did one. It was the second year I was working at the current company I'm at. I'm at Capture Technology, and they have this giant refrigerator of drinks, just all kinds of beverages. And they used to mostly be caffeinated, high sugar drinks. They've since put a few more healthy things in there, like juices. But it was very easy, especially after getting done with college, to just go in there and grab another Dr. Pepper and another Dr. Pepper and another Dr. Pepper. So I made a resolution after I'd been working there a year that I was only going to have one a day. I was going to limit myself to one Dr. Pepper a day. And that was, it'll be 15 years. Actually, it was 15 years today. Wow. All right. Yeah, I started there 15 years ago today. I broke that resolution about 6 months ago. It was close. It was a pretty good run. And maybe I'll get back to it. Because the great thing about resolutions is, at least the ones I want to talk about today, the great thing about resolutions is you can start a resolution every day. It may feel like you're maybe not as committed if it, you know, you broke it yesterday, but it doesn't have to be. What we learn from Scripture is you can start a resolution right now. And that's what I want to talk about, what we are going to resolve ourselves to be as Christians. So the main points I want to make today is Christianity is a religion of perpetual renewal. We have a first day of the week. We meet here every week, and it's to again remember, like Joel so poignantly stated today, it's to again remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. And not only that, but as I'll explain further, but Christ established reconciliation for our sins. And with my wife being in accounting, and I'm working on some software that's for an accounting software, reconciliation, in those terms, it's about constantly keeping the books balanced, right? You're constantly making sure that everything's aligned, right? And that's what Christ did for us. It's not he came and he baptized he came, he made the sacrifice, he rose again. It's not about us joining in that baptism and the sins from there being wiped away from before baptism, but it's a perpetual thing. Each and every time you sin, again, I'll go into more detail later, if you're meeting the criteria, those sins are constantly washed away by that grace, by that blood, that sacrifice that Christ made for us always covers your sin. He is constantly keeping the books reconciled. And so again, we're in a position to renew our life every day. So I've got quite a few scriptures that I'd like to go through today. As I was going through this and preparing for this lesson, they just kept coming to me and kept coming to me. Another scripture that would be good to reference as I went through this, and be it the emotional state that I thought I might be in, most of the lesson today is going to be not my words, but God's, and who better to give a message than straight from the Word. So hopefully I present it well, and in a way that that y'all can understand it and take something from it. So the first passage I'd like to read is in Lamentations, and this is, like I was saying, gonna go a bit more into detail about the constant renewal that we as Christians should recognize that this religion is about. It's about constant renewal. And so the first is, like I said, Lamentations, it's chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. If y'all like to follow along, like I said, I'll be going kind of fast, so, or through quite a few. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. God's there for us every day. His compassion, his kindness, his mercy never ceases. And that's why we can have hope. The next passage I'd like to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll be starting in 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. This one's one I've brought up a few times as I was up here preparing us for the Lord's Supper. And it's a passage that I, in my studies, came across recently, and it just really, really sums up well what it is, what we have as Christians. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That was the basis. That scripture and my study of it was the basis for those original comments that I made about reconciliation and about Christ's blood. I think it's very clear there in those scriptures. Christ came. He was that perfect sacrifice. And now our ministry is one of reconciliation. Go out, tell the world. Your sins can be wiped away because Christ came and was that perfect sacrifice for us. The next passage will be from Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, the one that Caden did such a great job of reading this morning. Good job. It was kind of long, so, but you did good. Ephesians 4:17. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, had given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Again, renewed. It's an active state. This renewal, excuse me. This renewal is a constant thing. They're not expecting, and Paul, talking to the Ephesians here, is trying to make it clear, when you come to Christ, when you become a Christian, it's not a one and done. It's not that you've met some criteria, you checked that box, and now you can just do whatever you want. He's saying you've got to put away that old life. And this is a constant effort, which I'll go into more detail later, but it's a constant effort to put away your old self, because physically you're still that same person. We understand from science that our brain gets wired, for lack of a better term, and you set up pathways in your brain. Because of the way the brain works, it wants to be able to keep doing things and get better at doing things that you do often. And so those pathways in your brain get stronger and stronger and stronger, and they're the easy path for your brain to take. It does that so that you can be better at the skills that you need to do constantly. But it can also be a way that your body goes against what your spirit knows you should be doing, because it has these set pathways that it wants to constantly go down. Because your old life, you have to continually keep pushing against that, because you recognize that the new self needs to be renewed every day to follow Christ, to overcome those patterns that our body has gotten into. And I want to go a little further into that the old life, talking a little bit more about that old life. The old life is death. If we stay to the old patterns, if we stay to that old sinful life from before we became Christians, we are not guaranteed salvation. Colossians 3, verse 1. Will be my next passage if you'd like to turn over there. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Keep seeking. Active. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died to your old, for you have died, and your old life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. That wasn't part of my point, but it was rather interesting timing. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free man, but Christ is all and in all. As you can see here, once you've been raised up with Christ, you must keep seeking the things above. We must keep our focus on Christ, on his word, on his teachings. Because the members of your earthly body are dead to immorality. Next passage, Hebrews 10, verse 26. But they make this point even a little stronger. It's Hebrews 10, 26. And this is the backing for that statement that I made of, we're not guaranteed salvation if we go on in our sinful life. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Now, these adversaries, that's the devil. Hell was prepared as a place for the devil and the demons that sided with him. And that, as we read here, if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for sins, a terrifying expectation of judgment. And that is the judgment that we can expect, the same one that the devil's going to get. Next passage is in Romans 6, be reading 1 through 4. And so I read that passage, that last one, and of course that willfully word really sticks out, because that's an adjective on that action of, it's very important, sinning willfully. In Romans 6, I feel kind of continues to clarify that point. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. It's about our walk. You can hear from that passage, as we join Christ through baptism, we join Christ because we're baptized into his death. And it's that walk that makes the difference. Where is your walk? Is your walk in the world or is it your walk in Christ? So Paul, I really like some of the thoughts that he shares, and I might read in between the lines a little bit when I get into some of these. But as I'm not sure that that's actually the case. I think it was stuff that people in different circumstances in their life will find different meaning in the same passages. I found that throughout my life as I reread the Bible, I go through a passage and I'm like, was that there last time? Surely it was, but I'm totally reading it differently. I think it's not that the word has changed, it's that I've changed. I'm at a different point in my life. And I get different meaning from that passage. That's why I know that God wants us to continue in our study of the word. But I'll share some of my newer perspectives on these next verses as we go. So the next passage is Romans 7, starting in 19. This one's kind of long. I'll be reading through chapter 8, verse 2. So this is Paul, I believe, almost talking in reference to those past passages that I've laid out, where it's very clear that we're not supposed to continue in sin. And now Paul is struggling with that. And this is what he says. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. All the way back here, what science is just figuring out about the way the brain works, the way that you get stuck into these patterns that get built up in your life, and that they're really hard to, even though you've got this new knowledge, you've got this new way that you want to act, science figured out recently that those pathways get hardwired and it's really hard to break those hard patterns in your brain. Paul is talking about this thousands of years ago, going, sorry, finding the right spot. I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin. He recognized it even then. I've got these patterns in my mind. My brain keeps wanting to do these things. I know better. That's the sin that's in our body. The sin that we have to continually work against. We're waging war against that sin that's already in our body, those patterns that we've already built up. Because let's be honest, babies are selfish. Y'all ever notice that? Babies are really selfish. They don't care if you've had a long day. They scream regardless. If they don't get their way, they scream. Babies are selfish. But as we get older, we have to learn not to be selfish, not to be greedy. It's not always about us. So those patterns are hardwired in, but we have to work every day to wage that war against the sin that's in our body. Next passage is 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 8. John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we know, just because you come to Christ, just because you try to walk this Christian path, the narrow path, we are not without sins. We all fall down. We all fall short. Only Christ was perfect. And it wasn't only Christ was perfect and then we got baptism and now we can somehow manage to be perfect after baptism. That doesn't happen either. And if we claim that we're perfect, that's some requirement for being in here. It says right here, that's not true. We are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're here to confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. Not if we deny our sins, if we confess our sins. Not if we ignore them. Not if we say, I don't think that one's such a big deal. Yes, grace covers them all. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive. That's the invitation that we offer each week. If you need to, we're here for you. Next verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you'd like to turn over there and follow along. 2 We are constantly renewing in our walk, our Christian walk. Constantly renewed. Constantly waging that war against sin. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, next challenging point. Bear with me here. My father taught me a lesson. He repeated it often, and it was to study, to learn, to always keep learning. Because what's in here, what's out here, you're going to lose. Money, status, all those things you can lose. But what you learn in your mind can't be taken away. And I had a lot of struggle with that. Some of you might know, my father passed away, and he struggled with dementia at the time, which is just a deterioration of your brain. And so when I tried to take that lesson from him, it was really hard. I was like, Dad, you must have got it wrong. But it wasn't me that got it wrong. It wasn't him that got it wrong. It was me. I got the wrong context. Because he wasn't talking about all this worldly knowledge. He was talking about this verse. He had tried to distill it down, but he took it to a point where I didn't catch the full context. And so when I came across this verse recently, I said, oh, that's what you meant, Dad. So look at this again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying. Outer man, you think, at first I thought that was your strength, my back hurts, my knees are getting weak. But the outer man is decaying, but it's talking your physical body. Because yes, you'll even lose your mental acuity as you get older. The brain's just not gonna work the way it used to. It deteriorates just like the rest of you. Thankfully slower, because if it was going as fast as my back was, I might not be finishing all my sentences up here. Definitely, if it was keeping up with my knees, we'd be in trouble, because Marine Corps shot those. But the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner man, that was what he was talking about. He wasn't pointing at his brain. He was putting that focus, that emphasis on spiritual learning and the rewards, the ones talked about right here in the next verse. We are not looking at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which we see are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The verse before that as well, producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. As we're working day by day to renew ourselves in our Christian faith, we're working toward that eternal weight of glory. That's the thing that you keep learning for. That's why you keep studying. That's why we're constantly here each week renewing our faith, remembering that sacrifice, so that we can work toward that and keep us ourselves moving toward that eternal weight of glory. Next passage is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, starting in verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Did anybody, as I was reading that, hear that you only had to do good once? Or that thing you did a while back, that put the check in the box for you? That time you took food over to somebody's house, or that time that you went and visited? Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. He's talking about continually doing this. This is day by day. The actions must continue over and over and over again. Don't lose heart. Keep doing good. There's always opportunities. There's always someone out there that you can do good for. There's always actions that you can take. I didn't know if I was going to bring this one up. I had the passage in mind about the tongue. And like I said, there were lots of passages that were coming to mind as I was working on this lesson. And I didn't have that one referenced ready to read, but I'm going to kind of shift it a little bit. How many people have a smartphone? It's a tool. I keep trying to teach my kids, this is a tool. You can do a lot of things with it. And if we read the passage about, I believe it's in James, about the tongue is a very powerful tool. You can do a lot of things with the words that come out of your mouth. It has a great potential for good, and it has a great potential for evil. So does this tool. There's a lot of things that we can do with a cell phone. With it, you can share the link for this lesson. It's on YouTube. It's in there. I can pull it up right now on my phone and watch. That'd be really weird, but it'd be on a delay. But I could watch myself as I was presenting this lesson. I've got my Bible in here on my phone. This lesson's outline is actually now in my phone that I can reference. There's a lot of good that I can do with this device. There's a lot of evil that also can do. We need to make sure that we're perpetually working to do good. You have opportunities. I can use this same device to encourage. I can use this same device to send emails, to send text messages, to make phone calls. Oh yeah, use them to make phone calls too, in case y'all forgot. There's a lot of power for good here that we have at our fingertips every day that we should be using. I know sometimes it's hard to travel. I know sometimes it's hard to get out. The weather gets bad. The days are short right now. It's hard to get out and do. But we have a lot of power at our fingertips where we can go and do good right here. Go do good. And obviously, there's always the power of the written word. The mail service runs just about every day. You can send cards. You can send letters. Kathy does a great job. I got one for my birthday not too long ago. Thanks, Kathy. It was really sweet. And others that have sent me letters, I really appreciate those. I often keep them around for a long time, probably a lot longer than makes sense for most people. But the power of the written word we can share with each other to continuously encourage others. These passages, these lessons that I've even taught, I learn a lot from these, and I'll often go back and listen to them again. So that was the last scripture I had, and most of the thoughts that I wanted to share with you today. So just to conclude, Christianity is a ministry of reconciliation. Let the world know Christ came. He gave the ultimate sacrifice to wash away all of our sins. He was perfect. If you think about that in like balancing books, infinity on this side, and then we have our little line items on this side. Christ is infinity, infinite grace that covers everything on the other side of the books. They're all reconciled. And again, remember from the scripture in Ephesians, if you reference your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We are now in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on the new self. We are now in the likeness of God. I was talking in the class this morning with a few of the young men about the light of the world. And that is where that light comes from. Us being the likeness of God. God is light. It talks about in Revelation about when we go to heaven, there is no more night because God is there and he brings the light to heaven. And us in his likeness should be the light of the world. Again, remember that grace doesn't mean we can go on sinning. We're not to live in sin. We're to constantly fight that, waging the war against our body. And of course, if we sin, as Paul said, that's going to happen. We have to keep our minds on the Spirit, because that no one can take from us. That spiritual mind focus on the Spirit. Our spirit through our mind focused on... You know what I meant. That sentence totally didn't work. Sorry. Stay focused. Your mind, you're at war with the patterns in your mind, but you know what the right is that you need to do. You know the sin that you need to avoid. Every day, renew your mind. Allow that hope from God's love and kindness being on you every day to help you in that pursuit. You don't have to wait for New Year's to make a New Year resolution. You can resolve today to make these changes that you need to make, to do the good that you see that you can do in the world, or to confess your sins and ask for prayers that God will help you to overcome your afflictions. He will. God is powerful, God is good, and he just wants us to come to him, ask for his help, and he will so gladly give it. Don't be overcome and calloused by your exposure to the world. Instead, focus your mind on Christ and the good that you can do. If you need to confess, if you need support, we're here. We're here for you. You can come now as we stand and sing.